Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
この番組はジャパントップ10ナンバーワンの J-POP ポッドキャストです。このエピソードはカルチャーエピソードです。You're listening to Japan Top 10, the number one Japanese music podcast. You're listening to A Culture's episode on Japan Top
10. Hello everyone, this is Andy.
And I'm Shauna.
And you, of course, are listening to Japan Top 10, and we have such an exhilarating episode for today. We are bringing you a cultures episode all about live-action remakes of popular anime. So without further ado, let's get into it.
Before we start, we have a couple of quick announcements. If you want to advertise on our podcast, you can market your brand onto one of the world's most popular Japanese cultural-based podcasts and reach up to potentially 70,000 listeners around the world on a weekly basis with advertising costs that will fit your company's budget. Find all the details at jtop10.jp, and hey, you may find an advertising plan that suits your company's needs.
That's right. And if business is not your speed, but music might be, we are also appealing to all the indie Japanese music artists out there. If you want to create Japanese music and want some exposure for that, please get in touch with our music director by sending them an email at nola@jtop10.jp. That's nola@jtop10.jp, along with the song you would like us to feature on our podcast.
And hey, if making music is not like your speed and you'd much rather just sit and enjoy listening to music like in this Cultures episode, just remember that you can actually receive the full version of this episode by becoming a Patreon donor, just starting at a single dollar. And you'll receive this episode without any of our announcements or interruptions, and just enjoy the commentary and music and all the fun stuff that we have to say, especially about Japanese live actions, because I feel like important conversations are meant to be had.
Yes. So yes, that being there's said, there's a lot of content.
It's beautiful. So check out our website at jtop10.jp/club for all the details.
But before we dive too deeply into our own polarizing opinions, apparently, why don't we give our listeners just a little bit of background about kind of the topic in general, as we like to do. I'm sure many of our listeners are, you know, intimately familiar with the concepts of anime and live action remakes and probably have their own opinions. But as everyone listening, I'm sure, is well aware, anime has been around for over a century. But the live action adaptations that have come after them are more new to the scene. It was actually not until the 80s when we started seeing live action adaptations coming into popularity.
And I think for the sake of a lack of, you know, argument during this episode, we must set down ground rules. And for the sake of this episode, we will define live action, or as it's popularly defined, a live action adaptation refers to the transfer of an anime or a manga, and with these have either only CGI or animated characters and worlds when we're talking about anime or manga, and this shifts over to an environment that contains real life humans playing the parts of the fictional characters from the series. More often than not, the adaptation has quite a bit of artistic freedom to interpret the source material, and this is always like an attempt to make it more unique or different from the make like a different product. But sometimes, however, the creator of the actual manga slash anime does have the right to, you know, restrict the freedom of the live action in order to keep it as authentic as possible.
As you mentioned, I know a lot of creators come out of it a bit upset at times.
A bit, yes.
Yeah, many people, I think this also is something that goes without saying, but many people prefer anime over their live counterparts because it can be very difficult to get the same artistic and aesthetic appeal when something isn't animated. With animation, there is virtually nothing that is impossible for the writers, characters, and directors to accomplish. But with live action, there are many more limitations, of course, and not to mention increased expenses to try and achieve a similar aesthetic or look, specifically, you know, if it is to make actors look more anime, as it were, that takes a lot of skill. So the creators have to worry about that when making live action adaptations. And so I guess that kind of falls onto the audience to decide whether they like it or not, or if they can accept this new thing as something wholly different and not, you know, besmirking the beauty of the original manga or anime that it's coming from.
Absolutely. I think it's also kind of important, since this is a cultures episode, the cultural references must not be left behind. I think most of us have definitely seen the way anime and manga have influenced many, you know, series and movies, and this comes without the label of being an adaptation. And I think that's really important as, you know, a defining category goes, because you have movies that were directly turned into live adaptations and they're called an adaptation, versus ones that were sprinkled with influence, rather. A perfect example of this is The Matrix, which is an iconic movie series from the US. And this was actually first pitched after a producer showed the manga Ghost in a Shell, and he wanted to do something similar but in real life. That being said, I forget her name, what's her name? Scarlett Johansson has definitely given us a Ghost in the Shell adaptation. So yeah. I would love to know your opinions on that, but hey, we can get into it.
Yeah, honestly, I was going to wait until we talked about our first topic to get into it, because I feel like, because it kind of can lump into one big idea about what you're saying with Netflix and their various... I know this wasn't in Netflix, but I am interested to hear your opinion as well. I think, having not seen it, but loving Ghost in the Shell, Ghost in a Shell, rather, I don't know, I fall somewhere in the middle. I think casting choices were certainly a choice in that specific instance, given that I don't know that Scarlett Johansson was, you know, the best choice, but certainly after that choice was made, the movie got even more attention that it might not have gotten regardless. So I don't know. I don't know where to fall on that side of things, but in terms of visuals, it did look very stunning from what I, you know, understood.
I fully agree, actually. I also do think that we should get into our first movie or a live action adaptation, just so that we have a bit of like context about where we're coming from with a lot of our opinions. That being said, one of my personal favorites, Alice in Borderland, is definitely one of those I personally feel slightly rare amongst the mass of it good live action adaptations. And it's rare, I'm saying rare because it did in fact deviate from the source material a lot more in like season 2. So any Alice in Borderland fans will know that season 2 definitely took a step back from the original source material. But the way it took it, the plot line further, and completely understandable in the context of you don't have like 1,000 chapters to kind of remake. I think it did a fairly decent job of, you know, pulling through. And I really love the casting for it. So you have any series like that?
Yeah, my absolute favorite anime adaptation probably of all time is the Cutie Honey series. I don't know if you're familiar with either the manga, the anime, or the live action, but are you familiar with it?
I am not, unfortunately, but I know that like your recommendations are often fairly good ones, so I will make sure that I get to it.
Oh, that is very sweet. I appreciate that because I share the same respect for all of your recommendations. I often come away from our episodes with lots of beauty and wonderful things to ingest media wise. But yeah, the Cutie Honey series is very interesting in that I think the live action is almost as good as the anime in my opinion. And kind of the reason why that is they use the manga, actually the director, it's the same director who did Evangelion. Mm-hmm. Hideaki Anno, I think is his name. So he did this Cutie Honey adaptation, and he used the manga panels as basically his storyboard. So everything, he just recreated the movie, recreated the manga using every panel as a guide for his storyboarding. And when it came to shooting, like if they couldn't, you know, obviously physically do something, they would have to, you know, maneuver it away, but they never deviated from the basically the outline that was already laid out by the writer of Cutie Honey. And yeah, just shout out to Cutie Honey 2004. They also made a sequel in 2016, which I have not seen, but the tone seems a little darker, which is not really like true to the style Cutie Honey. Cutie Honey.
Yeah.
So I don't know, like maybe it's not for me, but thank you for letting me ramble.
No, always. And quite frankly, I've also seen this like debate about anime versus manga adaptations. Mm-hmm. It's the same, you know, book versus movie debate, which is, do you think that all these adaptations need to stick very strictly to the source material?
That's a good question. Yeah, you did bring that up. I don't think they have to, but I think they should keep some of the tone, if that makes sense. I don't know. I guess I could see it two ways. I respect when a director makes a choice. I will always respect, like, okay, you definitely took this angle and you're gonna go for it. It doesn't mean I always am gonna like it.
It's like I can see what you were trying to do. I don't know whether I fully think you did it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. How about you? How do you feel? What's your opinion on that matter?
I feel like I definitely have a very polarized opinion where I do, I completely agree about seeing the other side of it. But I also feel like whenever I watch a movie or an adaptation of something, especially if it's something I've already read, right? Like, for example, Alice in Borderland was slightly different because I think watched a couple of episodes of season 1 first, and then I went and read the manga, right? And that kind of made me miss a couple of scenes, a really iconic, whether it be fight scenes or, you know, ideas in the manga that I just felt was slightly missing in the live action adaptation. But that doesn't take away from the fact that it was still a good adaptation, right? I feel like a lot of the arguments around this are definitely stem from there was something that I would like to see from the original source material in here. But the fact that there are about like more than like 7 to 8 billion people with those opinions and everyone has a scene they want up there, it's definitely like a hard game to play. But I also feel like if you're going to go out of your way to make this live action adaptation and you know you can't cater to it, taking just the vibe or doing, I think, the general tone and general plot line of your source material and keeping that in mind as you're making it is going to be really important from your perspective.
Yeah, exactly. I like what you said too about, like, of course not everyone's going to, you know, everyone's going to see the thing that they hope to see, but
yeah,
it is nice when they try to do as much as they can. And even better when it kind of aligns. Like, I really agree with the point that you were making about, like, keeping, if you're going to go out of your way to spend all this time, energy, money, resources, and everything to make an adaptation, it does feel a bit bad when you don't choose then to, like, honor the source material as much.
Yeah.
But yeah,
it definitely hurts you a bit, but I mean, hey. Such is life, and such is the world of adaptations. And I think we can jump into our first
one. Yeah, let's get into it.
So the first sort of live action adaptation that we're bringing up is one that has definitely taken the internet by storm, and for good reasons, which is quite rare in the world of live action adaptations. And this is Netflix's 2023 adaptation of One Piece. On August 31st, 2023, One Piece got an American live-action series on Netflix, which now has about 8 episodes. It was received very well with positive reviews and reactions immediately after premiering, and was in fact approved for a second season, which is now in production.
Which is always, I mean, usually a good sign, right? Yeah, and the live series was actually first announced all the way back in 2017. That is hard to believe. And by November 2021, the main cast had already been revealed. This includes Iñaki Godoy as Luffy, Emily Rudd as Nami, Makinu as Roronoa Zoro, Jacob Romero Gibson as Usopp, Kaz Skyler as Sanji, Vincent Reagan as Garp, Jeff Ward as Buggy the Clown, of course, and Morgan Davies as Kobe. I apologize. That was quite a mouthful for me, but I did my best.
It's okay. We got through this. And admittedly, Makenyu as Zoro was, I think, every anime internet girl's ultimate casting. I'm a big Makenyu fan, which we'll get into.
Well, are you? Okay, wait, tell me more about that. Sorry, let's get into it right now.
Oh, absolutely. I feel like Makenyu is, apart from being very intensely good looking, I will fully admit that pretty privilege hit hard here, but I think he's a really good actor. I mean, as a Zoro, he was undoubtedly, I think, one of my favorite characters. He definitely brought the vibe of Zoro. And I also feel like it was one of those breakthrough moments for, you know, Japanese actors and seeing them in American spaces, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
He also did Rurouni Kenshin.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of live action.
Absolutely,
yeah,
I know.
Yep.
And this, I mean, it was, again, a very polarized live action, but I think he did fairly well. I mean, I can't argue about some of the contentions about the storyline and stuff, but I think he was a pretty good casting choice there. And he was also in Chihaya Furu.
Oh, shoot. Okay.
Yeah.
Dang, he's been all over. Apparently I have not been paying attention.
He's definitely done a lot of live action adaptations. He's done Full Metal Alchemist. He's done Momo Girl.
Was he in the Gintama live action or no? Because I saw that one on the plane and I can't remember, but I feel now that you're mentioning it, I feel like he might have been in there, but probably not.
I don't think he was in the Gintama live action. But
okay.
Another really good, this wasn't an adaptation, but another really good movie, I think, that I think was my first introduction to, you know, recognizing Makenyu as an actor was 12 Suicidal Teenagers. And this was good movie. I will fully agree to it. But see, on the flip side, he was also in JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, the live action adaptation. So I'm not going to say his career was absolutely spotless.
You know, it can't. We all can't be winners. But I mean, if we're looking at the average, I think overall positive.
Yeah, definitely.
Including this
definitely.
One. Of course.
He actually has another movie that just recently came out called Knights of the Zodiac. I think that was also on Netflix. And It was honestly pretty good. I had really not too many complaints about it. I think it definitely played into the, you know, oh, hey, Japan, and therefore, you know, wow, the mysticism of the East vibe.
But, oh no, yeah, that's it's always a bit unfortunate.
It is.
I shouldn't even say unfortunate. It's just a big letdown
it
when
kind
that
of
sneaks into
yeah,
things.
Definitely, yeah, definitely. But I think from a movie and acting point of view, it was definitely a big win for me. So I think McInnes is a very talented actor and very beautiful, and extremely beautiful.
Extremely beautiful, which is probably why he keeps getting cast as like very handsome, skilled swordsman.
Yeah. That is true. That is true.
Well, yeah, bringing it all the way back to our little old One Piece.
Yeah, I mean, the McInnes side note kept away. Eiichiro Oda, the creator of the massively popular manga series, actually serves as the creative consultant for the show, which is, I think, one of the most solid decisions a show that's doing an adaptation can make. But this does not mean that the show did not go through any changes. There were, of course, many script changes, including a lot more dialogue than is seen in the manga, since the live action doesn't need to leave as much room for illustrations as such. But there were also like a lot of structural changes that had to be approved by Oda, such as the early introduction of Garp and his stronger presence as well in the film.
Interesting. And now onto the review sides, not just our reviews, but the broader reception. You know, Brian Truitt of USA Today gave the series 3 out of 4 stars, and he wrote in his review, "In this energetic cross between Pirates of the Caribbean and Scott Pilgrim, with a dash of Doctor Who-style camp, a young crew of buccaneers goes searching for lost treasure and helps people along the way in a big-hearted, swashbuckling answer to Stranger Things."
I think just right off the bat, the movies and, you know, shows, or the way he pitched I'm fully in agreement with the 3 out of 4 stars, and I understand the sentiment, but Scott Pilgrim really, ooh, okay.
I was gonna say, like, of the things to, I got hung up on Doctor Who too. I'm like, what are these references?
Yeah.
Can't you just like let, I mean, I understand you're trying to connect to an audience who probably doesn't know anime very well or manga very well, I can get that, but you don't need to inject other comparisons, and I don't necessarily think this is like an answer to Stranger Things.
To Stranger Things, yeah. Yeah, that was another big contention of mine too.
We'll give Brian Truitt a little bit of a reprieve and dig into the next person that we'll talk about, which is Lauren Massilli of Games Radar Plus, who wrote that the series breaks the live-action curse, adding that the directorial choices, quote, "make it more clear that the show was created by fans, by people who genuinely wanted to see something they love brought to a new life." So that is a bit nicer. I don't know that I would agree that it breaks the live-action curse, because I don't think that's something that only exists in Hollywood. So I guess it does break the Hollywood live-action curse, if you want to say that.
Yeah.
But yeah, because there's been, as we've mentioned, our love for many other live action adaptations. But Netflix really tried it pretty hard, because they had a lukewarm reception to their Cowboy Bebop
live action
adaptation.
The Cowboy Bebop live action was definitely one that did not see as good of a reception. But I definitely feel like they picked up from that, and, you know, they gave this, I think for a piece, adaptation of something as iconic or as beloved as One Piece, I think it's really rare that they got as good of a reception as they did.
Yeah, I was shocked. I was ready for everyone to watch this and rip it to shreds for anything. And largely, I did not
absolutely hear, anything. You know, I think that in and of itself critique, is such, you know, a big win, because as someone who is part of the anime community, I'm also very self-aware that we nitpick a lot. So,
yep, a picky bunch. But you know, I think that is all to say. A job well done to the cast and crew of One Piece 2023. We'll be looking for the second season. But in the meantime, we will bring our listeners to a little bit of a musical reprieve to cleanse their palate for our next round of going in on live actions. And to do so, we are bringing you a feature from the artist Andy Mori with their song, Bengaru Tora to Whiskey.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And again was Andy Mori with Bengaru Tora to Whiskey, which is from February 4th, 2009. Oh, wow. Happy anniversary to this song. And Andy Mori was an indie rock band that formed back in 2007, finding inspiration for their name by combining Andy Warhol, who is an important figure during the pop art movement in the 50s and 60s, and the phrase Memento Mori, which is a token that essentially embodies the inevitability of death.
That's a rather iconic, again, the Japanese naming system gives me nothing but pure joy, but their members include Sohei Oyamada on vocals and guitar, Hiroshi Fujiwara on the bass, and Kenji Okayama on the drum. The group did eventually break up after 7 years in 2014, and it's rather sad, but what can I say, memento mori. But
memento mori,
truly, they lived up.
Yeah, absolutely. So this song, I think, ties together the entire vibe of the One Piece anime, manga, live action adaptation series as a whole.
Yeah, definitely. It's very, I love a little light alcohol reference, kind of, that's a piratey vibe, right? You know? No, but honestly, yeah, I liked, it did feel kind of like a, I don't want to say new age sea shanty, because that's not what I mean, but it is a song that evokes the ocean and evokes a bit of freedom and kind of lighthearted adventure. I agree.
I think it definitely took the entire traveling adventure by sea vibe. I think by sea is important here. And I agree with the entire sea shanty vibe. It's not like outright Wellerman, which is, I think, the iconic TikTok sea shanty.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, that took me a moment. It did not register. Was not the iconic,
I'm outright, like, you know, talking about the sea and, you know, accordion. Not the accordion. What would you say?
The accordion, right?
Yeah, it doesn't, like, outright have that, oh, hey, it's just the sea and me type vibe. But it definitely brings in that subtle sense of being away. And, you know, I think it's that sort of folk-ish beat that comes in that, like, brings us to sing that, hey, it sounds a bit like a sea shanty. But it definitely brings across a lot of the rock elements here as well, which I really appreciate.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I enjoyed it. I mean, also, One Piece in and of itself has so many bangers, like, across their many, I mean, I actually can't speak towards the live action because I'm yet to see it. I know, shame on me. But the anime has so many, you know, obviously just recently One Piece Red, you know, had that big hit with Otto.
Yeah.
And, you know, and throughout their histories.
I went and watched One Piece Red in theaters, which was an iconic moment for me because the music in, I think, that movie, music being the basis of the plot line to a large extent, was beautiful. Right. Mm-hmm. And I completely agree that there are lots of really amazing songs throughout the discography of One Piece, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. No, and I remember actually us talking more closely related to the time when you went to see that movie, how much it seemed to have impacted you, and you gushing about it on the podcast at that time.
Oh my God. Wow. Andy remembering things that I may or may not have forgotten, but yes, it was definitely a big impact there.
Yes. So who knows? Maybe for the second season, they'll do a musical episode and they'll feature some of those songs. We can never know what they're going to do with the One Piece franchise from here on out.
Very excited.
Yes. Well,
this was a very cathartic experience for me. The need to release my opinions, to share my opinions rather on live action adaptations. But I will fully admit that despite the general consensus that live action adaptations could do better, there are definitely a lot out there that hit the mark.
Yes. Yeah. And I think, I mean, honestly, if anyone is worried about live action adaptations, I would say go to Japanese live action adaptations first. Yeah. Because I feel like usually, not always, of course, there's a lot of exceptions, but usually there's kind of more of a modicum of success.
A bit. I think because they stay far more true to the source material. But there are lots of, like, internal debates about, you know, oh, is the source material really the only benchmark of a good adaptation?
Yeah.
But I hope these philosophical questions leave you wanting more and exploring the world of Japanese adaptations a lot more.
Yes, and until you find the answers to that, you can keep listening to us, and we have an exciting lineup, as always, coming down the line for you. Just a couple days from now, specifically, if you're looking for some more J-Rock, we will be featuring the band Kishida Kyodang and the Akeboshi Rockets for the March Artists of the Month episode, and Miyabi and Kuze will actually be bringing you that information, so look forward to spending a little bit of time with them, away from all of the controversial takes
as
of
always, though.
Shana and I.
But that being said, I guess this is the end of the show for us, you know, curtains drawing on the world of live action adaptations. But to be completely honest, we've only scratched the surface, so I'm sure there's a lot that we haven't mentioned, maybe a couple of personal favorites of some of our listeners, but hey.
If you got a favorite that you'd like to recommend, you know where to contact us.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, thank you so much for taking this journey with us. And as always, stay safe and have a great time. Good start to March.
Yep. Yeah. Bye.
Jane.
Japan Top 10. The number one Japanese music.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.